You've been given 15 minutes to take your quiz. Okay, so answers for quiz 14. When was Abraham's faith reckoned to him as righteousness? O, chapter 15. When were Abraham and Lot separated? M, chapter 13. Man is promised a difficult life and then death. C, chapter 3, the curse. Cain kills Abel. D, the chapter after that, chapter 4. Canaan is cursed. Sometime after the flood, apparently. I, Genesis 9, but before Abraham. Number 6, B. The second chapter is when we find out that man was created out of dust and woman was created out of man. 7, Abraham travels to Egypt. L, an important event because that's where he picked up Hagar. Noah leaves the boat. H, Ishmael is born. Hello? P, chapter 16. Number 10, commanded to build a boat. F, chapter 6. Number 11. O, Genesis chapter 15 is when God went through the pieces of the sacrifice like a smoking oven. And that is when he confirmed the covenant to Abraham. The covenant is obviously, has its beginning in chapter 12 and has its confirmation in chapter 17, but I believe that it was actually established in chapter 15. 12, Abraham is promised land for the first time. Chapter 12, L. 13, Melchizedek blesses Abraham. In chapter 14, God makes a covenant with Noah. I, chapter 9. Number 15, Abraham is given the sign of circumcision. Q, chapter 17. Number 16, God sends the worldwide flood. G. Number 17, Sarah suggests that Abraham have a child with Hagar. P, chapter 16. Speaking of which, where is Sarah tonight? She had another engagement. Okay, number 18. Because I had a beef to pick with her tonight, too. Number 18, the genealogy of Adam to Noah. E, that's chapter 5. The genealogy of Shem to Abraham. K, chapter 11, right before we get into all the stuff about Abraham in chapter 12. Noah's descendants spread across the earth. Chapter 10, J, Adam and Eve fall. Adam and Eve fall. C, chapter 3, the rainbow is given as a sign of the covenant. I, chapter 9, God creates the heavens and the earth. A, chapter 1, God confuses the languages of men at the Tower of Babel. K, and that's our multiple choice. Has anybody done the back yet?
No.
Okay, how old was Abraham when he entered the promised land?
76.
It says in chapter 12 he was 75 when he left Haran, but he was probably 76 by the time he got to Canaan. Number 26, how old was Abraham when Ishmael was born? 86, 10 years later. How old was Abraham when he was circumcised? 99. His son Ishmael was obviously 13. And from what I've heard, little Arab boys get circumcised at 13 after their father Ishmael. How old was Abraham when he was first told he would have a son Isaac by Sarah? 99. He was 100 when the boy was born 1 year later. What are the three main aspects of the covenant promises God made to Abraham? The land is obviously the biggest one, or not the biggest one, but the one that we've seen repeated so often. Descendants or a seed or an offspring, and what else? His name will be a great nation. He will be a blessing. He will be made great. He will be a blessing. He will bless others. Something of his name being great, or he receiving a blessing, or he being a blessing to others. Land, offspring, and blessing. With whom did God promise to establish his covenant after Abraham? Isaac. And what does the name Abram mean? Exalted Father. And what does the name Abraham mean? Father of a multitude. So let me, since we're a little bit behind here, let me skip the brain burner for right now. And if we have time at the end of the class, we'll come back to it. If you did your homework and want to get it out, it'll help you fill in the blanks in the lesson. If you didn't, or if you did, you'll want to open your Bible up to Genesis chapter 18. And in verses 1 through 15, we see a visitation. Now, your homework question asked, who were the three men who came to visit Abraham? Who were they? Nathan.
One was the pre-incarnate Christ and the rest were angels.
One was the pre-incarnate Christ and the other two were angels. One is the individual known as the angel of the Lord, or the Lord himself, or the one theologians refer to as the pre-incarnate Christ. And the other two were angels. And we'll see why that was the case. And one of the reasons we see that is verse 9, they said to him, verse 13, and the Lord said to Abraham. And so all of a sudden, one of the individuals talking with Abraham is the Lord. So one of these individuals who appeared to be a man was the Lord himself. Then if we look down in chapter 19, it says, now the two angels came to Sodom. So we're going to see the two angels going to Sodom. Okay, the announcement. What is the event that they announce? What? Sarah will have a son. What was the message given to Abraham by one of the three men? The event is Isaac will be born. Sarah will have a son. And in your homework, it said, who was this man? We've already identified him as the angel of the Lord or the pre-incarnate Christ. Now, in your notes, the timing, when will this happen? Louder?
Soon.
This time next year. Abraham was 99 years old when he heard the announcement that Isaac would be born. And the next year, Isaac was born. In chapter 18, Isaac will be born. And number three, the herald, who was this individual who told him this? The Lord, the pre-incarnate Christ, coming, appearing as a man, and telling Abraham that he indeed would have a son born through Sarah. So this is where I had a bone to pick with Sarah. In your question number two, it says, what was Sarah's response to this message? So number one on your note says Sarah's initial reaction. What was Sarah's initial reaction? She laughed. She thought that was pretty funny. Of course, what was Abraham's initial reaction in chapter 17? He laughed too. So we got a lot of laughter going on. So what are the questions? What are the questions that the Lord asks in response to Sarah's initial reactions of laughter, because obviously she's laughing because she's thinking this can't happen. This is just too unbelievable to be true. So what was one thing that the Lord asked her? Nathan? Is anything too difficult for the Lord? What did he ask her before that? Why did you laugh? Why did you laugh? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Now remember, it's the Lord who's talking to her. And she's laughing at what he's telling her. Somewhat in disbelief, maybe just not understanding, but nothing like this has really happened in her understanding, so she's laughing. The Lord asks, why did you laugh? Is anything too hard for me?
So, did she know that it was the Lord talking?
I don't know. I would have to think so, because of how Abraham talks to this individual later. So what's Sarah's answer? This is really rather remarkable. This is the bone I wanted to pick with her. I did not laugh. She's telling the Lord, the omniscient God, that she didn't laugh when she did. But don't we all do that? We think we can hide our sin from God. Sarah thought she could hide. I don't know if it was sin, but now it is. Because she's saying to God, she didn't laugh when she did. And so the Lord's rebuke is, oh yes, you did. So we have a good announcement. Visitation from the three men, two angels, one the angel of the Lord or the Lord himself, telling that a child, Isaac, will be born. Sarah thinks it's funny. God says, is anything too difficult for him? And now we have a revelation. Now, why is God going to reveal something to Abraham? In verses 16 through 33, what does it say? This goes along with number three on your homework. Why had God chosen Abraham? What is the reason for the revelation to Abraham? In chapter 18, beginning in verse 16, goes through verse 19. All the other nations will be blessed through Abraham. What's another reason? That is what he's going to talk to him about, but why is he going to reveal this to Abraham? Because Abraham is to teach his children, it says in verse 19, in order that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord. So this is going to be an instructional time. And one other reason why Abraham is being revealed this, and this would actually be the first one, is because he's going to be a, what does it say? Great and mighty nation. So he is going to become a great and mighty nation. In him all the nations of the earth will be blessed, and he was chosen to teach his children to obey God. So think about it. What is God going to tell Abraham? What is God going to reveal to Abraham? What is the pronouncement? Exactly. Sodom and Gomorrah are wicked and they're deserving of judgment. Now think about it. Abraham's going to become a mighty nation. What should the mighty nation know? If they turn away from God, God's judgment will be upon them. In him all the nations will be blessed. Why is that important? Sin is a disgrace to any people. And God will judge any nation who is wicked. If you want to be blessed in Abraham, you don't do what Sodom and Gomorrah do. And three, he was chosen to teach his children to obey God. It's not just national. It's personal and individual. God hates sin. Sin is deserving of judgment. It's true of the nation I'm going to make of you. It's true of every other nation that is blessed in you. And it's true of every individual who comes forth from you. God hates sin, and God will judge it. I'm not going to hide this from Abraham. He's too important an individual in my plan to hide who I am from him. So Abraham's plea is based upon God's character. What aspect of God's character does Abraham appeal to? His justice. God is a righteous and just God. Isn't that the reason why he's destroying Sodom and Gomorrah? But Abraham wants to know, will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? And so he bargains him, starting at how many people? 50, all the way down to 10. And what did God say? I will not destroy the whole city if I find 10 righteous men there. And Abraham left it at that. Now, a few things I found in the margin of my Bible. Verse 17, when God says, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Abraham was known as the what of God? Friend of God. And friends don't hide things from friends. He has the privilege of being spoken to face to face. Anybody else have that privilege? Moses was also called a friend of God. That God spoke to him as a friend. Anybody else known as a friend of God? David was probably referred to as a friend of God. That's not the one I was thinking of. Maybe Noah. I don't know if he was referred to as a friend of God. Enoch says he walked with God. I don't know if it says he was a friend of God. The disciples. He says, I call you my friends now, and I'm not going to hide anything from you. And that was God face to face. We're saying this is the pre-incarnate Christ. That was the incarnate Christ. He said, no longer do I call you slaves. I think it was slaves. But I now call you friends. And I'm not going to hide from you what's going to happen. We also can be referred to as the friends of God, and God has spoken to us in his word. Okay, on the back. The judgment comes when the arrival of the two angels. Those are the other two individuals we've been talking about in chapter 18. We're now in chapter 19. What was their plan when they came to the city? You can turn to Genesis chapter 19 and begin reading in verse 1. What was their plan? To stay in the city square. What was Lot's plan? Take him into his house. There's a reason why Lot wanted them in his house, and it's because of what we read in the next few verses concerning the men of Sodom. What was their desire? Not just to kill the two angels. They wanted to have relations with the men. They were, as Lot rebuked them, doing what? They were acting wickedly, and he said, do not commit this wickedness. These men have come into the city. Do not commit the wickedness that you commit on a regular basis with these men. So Lot makes a foolish suggestion. He's probably beside himself, and the culture is obviously different than ours, but he makes one of the most ridiculous suggestions, foolish suggestions, sinful suggestions that's ever been made. And his suggestion is, take my daughters. It was foolish on several accounts, but one would be they didn't want the daughters, they wanted the men. And it was foolish on a greater degree that anyone would allow their daughters to be even put in such a situation. So what reputation had Lot obtained with the men of Sodom? What does it say? He's bossy. It actually says that he's acting like a judge. He's an alien. Remember, Abraham and Lot split over the fact that their herds couldn't live together, and Lot chose the beautiful land that was like the Garden of Eden, Sodom and Gomorrah. So he's not from this land, and he comes in acting like a judge, telling them what's right and wrong. And we need to understand that, because we sometimes think that Lot's presence in these cities and Lot's foolish suggestion concerning his daughters meant that he was just like them, and he wasn't. He made foolish decisions, he made foolish suggestions, but he was not like the men of Sodom. He told them what they were doing was wickedness. So, we then see a work of the angels. What do they do for Lot? They protected him. They brought him back into the house. And what did they do to the men of the city? They blinded them. Did that stop the men of the city? It says in verse 11, they struck the men who were at the doorway of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves trying to find the doorway. They didn't give up. They wearied themselves trying to find the door in their own blindness. You would think if you were struck with blindness, maybe something bad was going on. And maybe you were responsible for that badness. Remember when they found the man born blind, they asked who sinned? His parents or himself? It was understood that if you were blind, some sin had taken place. Well, these guys didn't even perceive that. There's no recognition of sin on their behalf at all. So there is a warning. To whom is the warning given? To whom do the angels give a warning? To Lot and his family. Who were the members of Lot's family? He had a wife and two daughters and two sons-in-law. There were five. And Lot, making six. How many left? Four. How many made it out alive? Three. Why? What were the responses to Lot? What were the responses to Lot and to the angel's warning that the city was going to be destroyed? What?
He appeared to be jesting.
Yeah, they said, you're joking. Lot is joking. And that's the response to the judgment of God today. You're joking. That'll never happen. Does that sound like something that we've seen recently? Pilgrim's Progress. Christian leaves what city? The city of destruction. And what does his family do? They laugh at him. Now the second half of the book, Christiana, talks about his family coming to their senses and following him. But they laughed at him at first. And if you've read the book, he has to stick his fingers in his ears and yell, "Life, life, eternal life," and stop listening to everybody telling him he is a fool. Obstinate comes to him and says, "You're foolish." Pliable says, "Well, if the land is so great, I'll come along with you." But when Pliable experiences the troubles along the way, he says, "You can have the city to yourself." The responses to God's judgment are laughter, joking, disbelief, and a refusal to flee the wrath to come. So we also see in this chapter the compassion of the Lord. The compassion of the Lord is upon whom? Lot, his wife, and his two daughters. What was the manner that God's compassion was seen on them?
Warning.
The warning was part of it, but the angels took them by the hand by force and dragged them out of the city. That sort of reminds me of the verse that says, "Unless the Lord draws you, you cannot come to me." This is the visual of this. The angels grab Lot and his family and drag them out, but they didn't grab two people. It does not seem like they grabbed the sons-in-law. Why did the angels grab Lot and his family and pull them out of the city of destruction, Sodom? What was the reason for that? They were hesitating. Why did God pull them out? Yeah, he had mercy. But there's a reason why he had mercy. What? He did have a plan for them, but there's another reason why he pulled them out. What?
Because of Abraham.
Abraham asked him. Abraham bargained down to how many?
10.
How many were coming out? 4. Would God have destroyed the city for the 4? No. God went further than Abraham went. Said, "I will not destroy the city for the 4. So what has to happen? The 4 have to leave. And I'll take them by force if they're going to hesitate. Because Abraham asked me to." And we see that in verse 29. "Thus it came about when God destroyed the cities of the valley that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, and he overthrew the cities in which Lot lived." God knew why Abraham was bargaining with him. "My nephew Lot lives there, and he's a good man. He's a righteous man. You won't destroy him with the people, will you?" So Abraham probably thought, 10's good enough. Surely there's 10 righteous. There weren't 10 righteous. There probably wasn't 4. There probably wasn't 3. There probably wasn't even 2. There was probably 1. And God made sure that man got out alive. So the destruction comes upon Sodom and Gomorrah. How does it state the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah? Fire and brimstone from heaven. There was no doubt as to what was happening here. God was bringing a judgment upon these two cities who lived in a valley that was likened to the Garden of Eden. Not so anymore. God destroyed the city because of wickedness. And what happened to Lot's wife? She turned into a pillar of salt. Why? She looked back. So? Why is that such a big deal? She was told not to. Can you obey God in this simple command? Don't look back. Why'd she look back? Why do you think she looked back? We don't know why she looked back. I think she loved the city. And her heart was there. And she couldn't believe it was being destroyed, so she wanted to look back and see if it was for real. And she turned into a pillar of salt. She disobeyed God. R.C. Sproul talks about, I don't know what he calls it, but acts of God's judgment that seem to be impetuous. Seem to be like you just ticked him off at the wrong moment. Things like when Uzzah tried to steady the ark and he was struck dead. Like Ananias and Sapphira lying about how much money they got to give to the church. They were struck dead. And then other people like Abraham and Lot given compassion and mercy. And we sometimes think that when God judges Uzzah or Ananias and Sapphira, that that's not fair. What's really not fair is that he allowed Abraham to live as long as he did. God's judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah and Lot's wife is what should happen. Everything else is mercy and grace. So Genesis chapter 19, verses 30 through 38, we look at Lot's offspring. Now, things are done in the Bible that we wouldn't want to be put into a motion picture. But Lot's daughters... the plan by his older daughter is that they would get their daddy drunk and then have a baby with him. And the older daughter had a child by her dad, Lot, whose name was... Moab. This is where the people known as the Moabites come from. The younger daughter also had a baby by her daddy, and his name was Ben-Ami. And we ought to... Moab comes, gives us the Moabites, and Ben-Ami gives us the Ammonites. How are these people related to Isaac? Because remember... all of this was written for the nation of Israel to explain to him, to explain to them who they were and who they were in relationship to other nations. Now, since I learned it, I'm going to teach you it. You may or may not know this. But if you have the same father, you're known as brothers. And I'm going to keep this male for simplicity. If you have the same grandfather, you're known as first cousins. If you have the same great-grandfather, you're known as second cousins. If you have the same great-great-grandfather, you're known as third cousins. But if one of them has a great-grandfather that's the grandfather of somebody else, they're not really first cousins and they're not really second cousins. They are first cousins once removed. So if it's a generation off, you say once removed. You can be second cousins once removed if somebody's great grandfather is somebody's great-great-grandfather. Then you'd be second cousins once removed. So now we're going to figure out what the relationship is to Isaac and Moab. Let's just go with Moab because Ammon would be the same. Terah was Isaac's what? Grandfather. Terah was Abraham's dad. Abraham was Isaac's dad. So Terah was Isaac's grandfather. So the best we can get now is first cousins. Terah was Moab's great-grandfather. So that means, number three, Isaac and Moab were first cousins once removed. Almost first cousins, but not quite. Almost second cousins, but not quite. First cousins once removed. They're highly related. Now, for your genealogy and cousin enjoyment, I did a run on someone like Levi. Levi's dad was Jacob, whose dad was Isaac, whose dad was Abraham, whose dad was Terah. Levi's mother was Leah, whose dad was Laban. I don't know. No, it wasn't Laban. His dad was up there. And if you run it up, Levi is related to Terah in two ways. So Rachel and Levi were third cousins. A mom and her son were third cousins. Because you can trace Levi's genealogy back to Terah in two ways. I thought that was entertaining. Like I said, I learned it. Like I said, I spent hours trying to figure this out.
So he was his own grandpa.
Something like that. Something like that. Something sort of strange, even with what we learned today, is Moab was Lot's child and grandchild at the same time. Okay, let me just go over because I think it's important. Or maybe we'll do it next time. Why don't we do it next time? Okay, for your planning enjoyment, Sunday, December 6th, next week, no class, right? I have that right. And Sunday, December 13th, we will have class 15 and assignment after lesson 14 is due. They're now called assignments after lessons. Now, so that the, I don't know, I'm trying to figure out a way to do it. Is it assignment 15 because it goes with class 15, or is it assignment 14 because it's given at lesson 14? I don't know. Is it first cousins or first cousins once removed? First assignments or first assignments once removed? I don't know. And Sunday, December 20th, let me just make sure that at least one hand goes up. Anybody want to? Okay, we will have class on December 20th since I saw at least one hand go up. You may want to work on in advance, in addition to your assignment, since we have 2 weeks off, the brain burner that was at the end of quiz 14. Very important thoughts. Let me go over it just briefly. Number one wants you to look up two verses and come up with the illustration Isaac and Ishmael provide for us today. Isaac and Ishmael are both mentioned in Romans chapter 9 and in Galatians chapter 4. So look those up and see what you can discern. And then, especially at this time known as Christmas, read Luke chapter 2, 18 through 20, and chapter 2, verses 26 through 28, and compare and contrast the promises that were given to, the responses of or by, and the judgments upon Zechariah and Mary. How were the promises given to Zechariah and Mary the same, and how were they different? How was the response by Zechariah and Mary the same, and how was it different? And how were the judgments upon Zechariah and Mary the same, and how were they different? And why was there any difference at all? Because there is a difference. Okay, we got 5 minutes. Any questions or comments before I close this in prayer? I don't know. They are called sons-in-law.
But he offered them because they had never...
That's an interesting point, yeah.
Well, he had more than just those 2 daughters, because it goes to the point and says that the ones that are here, when the angel is telling them to take them out, he says that the daughters are here.
Okay, that may be the case as well.
It would be very uncultural culturally incorrect for the daughters to leave their husbands to go follow their father.
I thought I read somewhere when we were there today that there were going to be the sons-in-law.
Yes, it's important.
The sons-in-law to Mary's.
Yeah. Okay. Some details I didn't delve into as closely as I probably should have. I will have to look at that more closely.
It also said that Lot had sons, and it doesn't say anything about what happened to his sons.
I don't remember that at all. Yeah, it does. Whom else do you have here? A son-in-law and your sons and your daughters and whomever you have in the city, bring them out of the place. Well, that's interesting, because the sons were not grabbed by the angels if he did have sons. And it says a son-in-law, not sons-in-law. Okay, exactly who made up Lot's family, I'll have to say I'm not entirely sure at this moment. I know who made it out. And because who made it out is so often the emphasis in Lot's biography, I guess I skimmed over that too quickly. Good points, though. Good observations. Any other statements, comments, rebukes, or rebuttals? All right, let me close this in prayer. Father, we are mindful that the things that we read in the scriptures sometimes reveal to us the total depravity of man. And yet we're also thankful that we see the greatness of your mercy and compassion even upon sinful individuals. And we thank you that in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the forgiveness of all of our sins and the possession of the righteousness of God through him. And we pray that the things that we have learned in your word would be in our hearts and in our minds to transform us in our thinking and in our desires to know and to do those things that are pleasing in your sight, that the Lord Jesus Christ would be honored and exalted in everything we think, say, and do. In his name we pray. Amen.